Good morning. This is Artificially Intelligent News for Friday, September 11th, 2026. I'm Mark Ellison. This program is created with artificial intelligence and independently fact-checked against authoritative reporting and official records available early Friday morning. Today, Americans mark 25 years since the September 11th attacks. Legal fights over election rules are accelerating as midterm ballots begin to go out. New details have emerged in the Miami cargo plane crash investigation, and higher oil prices are again rattling markets and sharpening inflation concerns. We begin with remembrance. Across the country today, Americans are honoring the nearly 3,000 people killed in the attacks of September 11, 2001. It has been a quarter century since hijacked airliners struck the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, and another crashed in rural Pennsylvania after passengers fought back. President Trump is scheduled to attend the commemoration at the Pentagon. Ceremonies are also planned at the National September 11th Memorial in New York and near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. The anniversary is an occasion for families, survivors, first responders, and communities to remember individual lives rather than reduce the day to its scale. For many families, the public ceremonies sit alongside private rituals, visits to memorials, gatherings with colleagues, and the simple act of saying a loved one's name. The passage of time has not reduced the importance of documenting what happened or recognizing the lasting burdens carried by survivors and responders. The consequences of the attacks still shape American life. Airport security, military policy, intelligence work, public health concerns among people exposed at ground zero, and a generation of service members and families affected by the wars that followed. For younger Americans with no living memory of that morning, schools, museums, and families are carrying much of that history forward. In election news, a federal appeals court has upheld a block on part of President Trump's order intended to limit mail voting in the midterms. The case centers on a postal service rule that would have required states to obtain federal approval for ballot envelope designs and submit voter lists through a federal portal before ballots could be delivered. Election officials said the requirements could not realistically be met as states began mailing ballots. The three-judge appeals panel concluded that the challengers were likely to succeed in arguing that the president does not have authority to set state election policy in this way. The ruling keeps the preliminary injunction in place for now. The ruling is temporary, rather than a final decision on the merits, but it carries immediate operational weight because election offices need settled procedures as ballots move into the mail. The Supreme Court is separately considering the dispute. Its earlier procedural action did not decide the constitutionality of the plan. The practical issue is timing. Alabama, North Carolina, and Wisconsin have already begun sending mail ballots, and other states will soon follow. This remains an active legal matter, not a final nationwide ruling on all mail voting rules. A separate election case brought more clarity in Missouri, at least for November. The Supreme Court again rejected a new congressional map backed by President Trump and approved by Missouri's Republican-controlled legislature last year. State election officials have directed local authorities to use the districts adopted after the 2020 census, which were used in 2022 and 2024. The newer map had been designed to improve Republican prospects in one additional House district. Litigation and conflicting court decisions had left voters and candidates navigating rapid changes in district lines. The Supreme Court's action means the older map is expected to govern the general election. For candidates and election administrators, that means the filing, outreach, and ballot preparations now proceed under lines voters have used in the last two federal election cycles. Missouri is one state in a broader national argument over redistricting the courts and control of the House. But the immediate effect is specific. Voters will go into the November election under familiar congressional boundaries rather than the more recent map. Meanwhile, the Justice Department has directed election officials in 29 states and the District of Columbia to preserve records from the 2024 election while the administration continues seeking detailed voter information. According to letters obtained by the Associated Press, the department wants states to retain records as litigation continues over access to voter registration data. The requests involve sensitive information including addresses, birth dates, driver's license numbers, and partial Social Security numbers. The administration says it is pursuing election integrity and has raised concerns about non-citizen voting. State officials and voting rights groups have raised privacy concerns and say federal access to unredacted voter data could conflict with state law. Courts have repeatedly rejected several Justice Department suits seeking detailed state voter rolls. Preserving records does not itself transfer the data, but the letters show that the administration's effort to obtain more election information from states is continuing, alongside the separate court fight over mail voting. At the Justice Department, Joe DiGenova has resigned from the position leading an investigation into whether former law enforcement and intelligence officials conspired against President Trump. DiGenova, a longtime Trump ally and former U.S. attorney for Washington, confirmed his resignation to the Associated Press. He declined to explain the circumstances. A person familiar with the personnel decision said there had been frustration over the pace and management of the investigation. The inquiry has examined matters connected to Russian interference in the 2016 election and the FBI search of Mar-a-Lago in 2022. No charges have been brought in the year-long investigation, and it remains unclear whether any will be. That distinction matters. The Justice Department investigation is ongoing, and its targets have not been charged. Previous government reviews found significant errors in the FBI's handling of the Russia investigation, but did not find criminal conduct by senior law enforcement officials. The department has not yet announced who will take over the current inquiry. In Miami, investigators have released troubling new information from the crash of an Amazon cargo flight that ran off a runway Sunday and struck a van, killing 5 people on the ground. The National Transportation Safety Board says cockpit recordings show one pilot repeatedly warned that the aircraft was approaching too fast for nearly 2 minutes before landing. The other pilot did not give a consistent verbal response, according to the NTSB summary. The Boeing 767 touched down far down the runway, briefly appeared to attempt to go around, then ran off the pavement, crossed a public road, struck the van carrying aircraft cleaning workers, and caught fire. The 2 pilots survived. 5 other people were injured. That sequence is important evidence, but it is not a determination of why the plane came to rest off the runway. Investigators will compare it with flight data, weather, maintenance, and operational records. The NTSB has not determined a cause. Investigators are examining weather, the aircraft's maintenance history, the flight crew's actions, and the operation of 21 Air, the cargo carrier that operated the flight for Amazon. Preliminary information is not a final finding, and the full investigation will take considerably longer. There is also a quieter but consequential infrastructure concern in the country's drinking water systems. An Associated Press analysis found that thousands of water systems still do not know the locations of all lead service lines in their networks. The Environmental Protection Agency estimates roughly 4 million homes and businesses remain connected to utilities through lead pipes. Communities need complete inventories before they can reliably replace the lines. The problem is especially difficult for small systems, which make up most of the utilities with incomplete inventories and often have less staff and fewer resources. A complete inventory is more than a paperwork exercise. It tells a utility where replacement work is needed, helps residents understand whether their connection may be affected, and lets limited construction money be directed to known risks first. Lead exposure can be particularly harmful to children. The national push to replace lead service lines is underway. But this reporting is a reminder that the basic task of locating pipes remains unfinished in many places. Residents who are unsure about their service line can contact their local utility for its inventory and replacement plans. Turning overseas, the war involving the United States and Iran remains central to the global economic picture as well as the security picture. The United States has made progress reopening shipping through the Strait of Hormuz, according to reporting from the region, but the conflict remains far from settled. The route is a crucial corridor for global energy supplies. Disruption there has helped drive oil sharply higher and raised costs for fuel, shipping, businesses, and consumers far beyond the Middle East. Markets respond both to actual disruption and to the risk that tankers, crews, and insurers will face additional delays or costs. Those added expenses can affect the price of moving energy even when a route is not fully closed. The picture is complicated by the conflict's spread. Iran-aligned Houthi forces in Yemen are increasing pressure on Red Sea routes, while attacks in and around Saudi Arabia have added to concern over energy infrastructure and maritime trade. For American listeners, the most immediate connection is economic. Higher crude prices can take time to reach gas pumps and household budgets, but they are already influencing expectations for inflation and interest rates. The military and diplomatic situation can change quickly, so this is the state of the conflict early Friday. Not a prediction of its next phase. Yemen has become a second major pressure point. Houthi rebels said they have taken control of Mocha, a port city on Yemen's Red Sea coast. Yemeni officials also confirmed the group's advance. Mocha is strategically important because it sits near the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, the narrow passage connecting the Red Sea with the Gulf of Aden and onward to the Suez Canal. Control of nearby territory does not mean the Houthis control all shipping through the strait, but their advance raises the risk for commercial traffic at a moment when the Strait of Hormuz is already under stress. Saudi oil exports routed through the Red Sea and a wide range of international cargo depend on secure passage through this area. The fighting also threatens to revive a broader civil war in Yemen. The human stakes for Yemenis are profound, while the wider stakes include shipping, energy, insurance costs, and the security of a route used by global trade. Now to the economy and markets. These are final closing figures from Thursday, September 10th, the most recent completed U.S. trading session. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 316.56 points, or 0.6%, to close at 52,064.10. The S&P 500 lost 44.66 points, also 0.6%, closing at 7,591.70. The Nasdaq Composite declined 171.62 points, or 0.7%, to finish at 26,081.72. Those were final closes, not live futures or intraday readings. Stocks fell for a fourth consecutive session as oil prices jumped and investors reassessed the outlook for inflation and interest rates. Brent crude briefly rose above $108 a barrel before settling lower, while the yield on the benchmark 10-year Treasury rose to 4.95%. The new inflation data added to that concern. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that its producer price index for final demand rose 0.4% in August after a 1/10 increase in July. Over 12 months, producer prices were up 5.4%. Goods prices increased 1.1% during August, while services rose 0.1%. The PPI tracks prices received by domestic producers rather than the prices shoppers pay at the checkout counter. It can be an early indication of cost pressure, although not every producer price increase reaches consumers. Producer prices measure changes received by domestic producers, so they are not the same thing as consumer inflation. Still, they can offer a useful early signal about cost pressures moving through the economy. Energy costs were a major factor, and investors are now watching consumer price data and the Federal Reserve's next decision with unusual sensitivity. One related consequence is already visible in borrowing costs. Freddie Mac says the average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage rose to 6.76% this week, its highest level in more than 14 months. For people shopping for a home or refinancing, the combination of high prices and elevated rates remains a real constraint. In sports, the NFL made history in Melbourne, Australia, where the San Francisco 49ers opened their season by routing the Los Angeles Rams 27-7 in the league's first regular season game in Australia. Brock Purdy threw for 205 yards and 3 touchdowns. Mike Evans, DeMarcus Robinson, and Deebo Samuel caught the scoring passes, and San Francisco's defense held the Rams to 1 touchdown and 290 total yards. The game drew 121 fans to the Melbourne Cricket Ground, making it the 7th largest regular season crowd in NFL history. The Melbourne Cricket Ground is one of the world's largest sporting venues, giving the league a distinctive setting for a regular season game and a visible test of its international ambitions. It was also a sharp opening statement from the 49ers against a division rival that entered with high expectations. San Francisco spent a full week in Australia adjusting to the time change. The Rams arrived much later, and travel alone does not explain a 20-point result. But the contrast will be part of the immediate discussion around both teams as the season begins. At the U.S. Open, American men's tennis is guaranteed a finalist on Sunday. Ben Shelton reached the semifinals by upsetting defending champion Carlos Alcaraz in a 5-set quarterfinal that ended at 3:33 in the morning. Shelton, the 8th seed from Atlanta, closed the match with a 146-mile-per-hour ace and ended Alcaraz's 18-match Grand Slam winning streak. The late finish added an endurance element to an already demanding match, and the result ended the title defense of a player who had entered the tournament on a long major championship winning streak. Shelton now faces Francis Tiafoe in an All-American semifinal Friday night. Tiafoe reached the round after rallying from 2 sets down against Alex Michelson. The winner will become the first American man in the U.S. Open final since Taylor Fritz in 2024, as the country seeks its first men's singles champion at Flushing Meadows since Andy Roddick in 2003. On the women's side, top-seeded Aryna Sabalenka beat Jessica Pegula to reach another U.S. Open final. She will face Elena Rybakina, who defeated Coco Gauff. It sets up a final between two of the tour's strongest hardcourt players. A quick results roundup from Thursday, San Francisco beat the Rams 27-7 in Melbourne. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Rockies 10-3, Seattle edged Texas 4-3. Houston beat Philadelphia 2-1, and Aryna Sabalenka defeated Jessica Pegula to reach the U.S. Open Women's Final. Finally, in entertainment, Ella Langley leads the 2026 Country Music Association Awards nominations with 9. Langley's crossover hit Choosin' Texas helped drive the recognition. Her songs Be Her and Choosin' Texas are both nominated for Single of the Year. Miranda Lambert, Langley's mentor, is next with 6 nominations. The field also includes nominations for Taylor Swift, Lainey Wilson, and Cody Johnson. Country music has increasingly crossed into the mainstream without losing its regional and songwriting traditions, and the nomination list reflects that mix of established stars, crossover success, and newer voices. That is your Friday briefing. Please follow Artificially Intelligent News and share this calm morning summary with one person who would value it. I'm Mark Ellison. Have a safe and thoughtful day.